Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Kat and James here with you at 9.05 on the clock. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for kicking off your Wednesday with us. I want to thank everybody that's joined us today. Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Phil Hartley from Quality Plus Printing. We've had a lot of fun this morning.
Yeah.
And certainly appreciate our friends from Family Natural Foods, Katrina being here. Thanks a lot for that.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we got, that A Right story is coming up a little bit later. We'll get in some entertainment news in just a little bit as well. But before we do that, before we dive into all those things, and the state that swears the least, don't worry, I haven't forgotten about that
one.
Don't
forget about it.
We're going to get into that too. I want to touch on a good story of the day that actually came to us from another good friend of ours, Raquel Novak.
Oh, Raquel, she's great.
Yeah, Raquel joined us quite a bit back in the day with, of course, working with the Y that mm-hmm. she did. And she still keeps in touch with us from time to time, sending us birthdays and anniversaries, just checking in to see how Pam and everybody here is doing and
That's
stuff.
Awesome.
Because she's amazing. She's an amazing
yeah,
human being. We appreciate
absolutely.
Her so much. I'm still very much a friend of the station. And she sent us, she's done this before, she sent us a good story of the day. And I just want to thank her for not only sending it to us, but just personally appreciate her having this relationship with our station still.
Yes.
It speaks to not only the friendship that was built there, but mm-hmm. What this station is all about, taking care of our community mm-hmm. and getting information out there and sharing positivity.
Yes.
We're always going to do that around here. Like mm-hmm. as long as I'm in this chair, that mm-hmm. that is the number one thing we are going to try to do is be informative and be positive.
Yeah.
It's our game. It's our bag. And this story she sent us hits on all of those factors.
Nice.
All of them. It comes to us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I want to give a shout out to Chelsea Lewis for the great reporting. 20 Wisconsin libraries will soon be your one-stop shop for books, newspapers, magazines, movies, and state park passes.
Oh, cool.
Beginning November 1st, cardholders at select libraries across the state will be able to check out vehicle admission day passes, good for free admission to all Wisconsin state parks, forests, and recreation areas. The pilot program, dubbed Check Out Wisconsin State Parks, will run through March 1st of 2023.
Nice.
In them, each library will have 50 passes available for checking out for a one-time use. Libraries were chosen based on economic and social variables, including unemployment rate, free and reduced lunch rate, health insurance, poverty rate, age, and race. And according to Missy Van Lunt, Recreation Partnership Section Chief for the DNR, she also noted that the DNR worked to include both rural and urban areas across the state.
That's really great.
How awesome is this?
Yeah, because you don't, if it's in Madison, that's great. Oh, you can get that, but it'd be nice to have it in more rural areas. So that's yeah. great that they're tackling that.
And that they took that approach to it, mm-hmm. that they put the detail into it, the amount of like time that is focused in
yeah.
on this thing. Cardholders who check out a pass will also get a kit with maps and information about the state park system.
Oh, cool.
Including accessibility information, a Wisconsin Explorer book for ages 9 and up, which can be exchanged for another book at nature centers and park officers, stickers, and more.
It's like combining two powerhouses. This is
yes.
so great. It's like the library and their resources and connection to community, and then the natural elements of getting outside. Let's use this great environment that we have. And they're pairing it so perfectly together.
Big supporters of the DNR around here. Appreciate mm-hmm. what they do for our hunting community and our fishing community mm-hmm. and our lakes and all this and our preservation. You can't listen to us 5 seconds and not hear us talk about a library, especially mm-hmm. our McMillan Library here in
so
town.
Good.
And then you add all these on and our state parks.
Yeah.
Like, this is awesome. The DNR plans to launch phase two of the program this winter with more libraries and hopefully make it a permanent program in 2023. They'll be gathering feedback from participants via survey in this initial phase. Those who complete the survey after using the pass will be eligible to win a 2023 annual vehicle admission stickers courtesy of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks.
Nice.
So just keep giving you stuff here. The DNR will host a free kickoff event for the program at 10:30 on October 20th at the Platteville Public Library. Again, that's October 20th coming up.
That's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Yeah, I thought
that's
so.
That's tomorrow.
At the Platteville Public Library, and that'll be again at 10:30. The event will include story time and nature-based activities for young kids, a visit from Smokey Bear and refreshments.
Course.
They landed an interview of the Smokey they got there. That's awesome.
Oh, man, they're lucky.
Keep in mind, daily admission passes to Wisconsin State Parks cost $8, $10, or $13, depending on the park. Annual passes cost just $28. The DNR typically hosts an annual free fun weekend, the first weekend of June, when all state parks are free to visit. Some parks and forests, including Haven Woods State Forest and Lakeshore State Park in Milwaukee, are always free to visit. For more information, I encourage you to go to dnr.wisconsin.gov, dnr.wisconsin.gov. Awesome story.
Such a cool story.
It really is. And I don't think a lot of people are going to hear about this unless we spread the word.
Yeah.
So spread the word about this, everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's take advantage of this. Let's, you know, get our parks. Let's go to our parks. Let's mm-hmm. take advantage of those and visit the library when you can.
Do they have a list of the libraries that they're choosing yet, or is that still in the works?
I'm glad you asked. They have the Milwaukee area here because it was in the Milwaukee Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking through this, I'm looking at like areas near us here, and I see that Beloit, Deer Creek, Egerton, Farnsworth, and Onico, and Grantisburg, and Janesville. Irvin Young Memorial in Whitewater, Kenosha McMillan, and then showing up at the end here, Wisconsin Rapids McMillan Library.
What?
Is one of them.
Cool.
Yeah, there you go.
That's really interesting because most of the libraries you named, or the cities, seem like it's southeastern Wisconsin primarily, yeah. And then boop, central Wisconsin, yeah, here we are.
You got great. Mercer, Platteville, Sherman and Ruth, Weiss Community as well, and then there will in winter as well.
So there is more up there, okay,
just
up north and such. Okay, cool.
And I wonder if they're waiting for the second phase when they do this in the winter to go more mm-hmm. up north. I don't know, but either way, I guarantee that they're going to mm-hmm. have a phase two, and I have a hard time believing that they won't get the feedback that'll encourage them to do this again in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just an awesome program. A big shout out to all of them, the DNR, our public libraries, mm-hmm. Of course, our park system. And just one more time, thank you, Raquel. Thank you so much,
Raquel,
for sending
this. This is great. Thank you.
It's a really good story. I appreciate you getting us that. I wanted to dive into a little bit of entertainment news now. And there's some interesting ones out here, Katrina, I generally think, like so many of these are, so many of these stories that we're going to dive into here, they're more they hit us closer to home than we think. You know, when we're talking about celebrities or these kind of things. Now, there's this one then where the headline is 14% of people think that they see on the things they see on reality TV are always real. Oh, like 14% of people believe this. It's a sad stat, but 14% of people actually believe that what they see on reality TV shows is always or often real. Over 7,900 people were asked how genuine they think reality shows are.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at this list, 7% said not sure. 15% said I don't watch those. 14% said never. They never think it's real.
Mm-hmm.
27% said rarely. 23% said sometimes, 8% said often. What's sometimes and rarely are pretty much the same thing. I mean, what are we doing?
Right?
So
too many choices.
I guess so. 8% said often and 6% said always. I don't expect this to be common knowledge, but reality TV is oftentimes more outlined than your normal, you know, sitcom.
Sure.
It's it has to be because they don't have dialogue.
Yeah.
They tend to give people like a blueprint, if you will, or an outline, like, mm-hmm. hey, in this scene, make sure you hit on this, this, and this.
Okay.
And then go. And then they just let them kind of, you know, let life happen.
Sure.
These aren't improv artists. So they're just talking. They're just mm-hmm. acting like they normally would. But if you look at the definition, the strict definition of what reality TV is, it ceases to be reality TV once you know a camera is on you. So therefore, it can't be reality TV. And then you add on the scripted end of things and this. I don't watch reality TV, mm-hmm. but I don't really have an issue with it because if people like it, who am I to tell people what to like and what not to like?
Yep.
What I have an issue with is them calling it, quote, reality TV.
Right.
Like, they expect. I think they expect way too much of an audience when they just kind of, they'll know the difference. They'll know where this isn't real.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So what should they call it then? Like scripted? Staged?
There's so many different ways you can label this.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them lead to more eyeballs on your shows.
Mm-hmm.
I think about this with sports teams. The Washington team forever had a horrible name. And that's just my opinion. But even as a little kid, mm-hmm. I was not comfortable saying Washington Redskins. I mm-hmm. never felt comfortable saying that. I didn't like it.
Right.
To a point where there's only been a couple of players with that franchise that I actually liked because I just always skewed away from them and everything. Yeah. So they go and they're pushing it, and their owner, Daniel Snyder, who is one of the worst owners in sports, is just like pushing, and he doesn't want to do it and all this. And finally they do it, and out of public pressure and yeah. everything. And also it dawns on this apparently smart businessman, hey, wait a minute. That I can change my color scheme. I could sell all new jerseys, all new coasters, all new posters.
Did
all
it for the marketing. Did it for the sales.
Yeah.
The money.
I mean, it's the reason why you see every college university has got like 90 alternate jerseys mm-hmm. that you can sell them. The PR and young people love it. They like yeah. the new. They like something new. They like something that almost feels specific to their generation.
Right.
So money. I mean, mm-hmm. why would you push against this?
If it, yeah.
It's again, just one more metaphor for you. I was a kid and I saw that there were two states that would not celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how racist you got to be to not take a day off of work? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's not like you got to go ahead and like research Dr. King on that day or
yeah,
something like
right?
that. Just take the day off of work. Like, mm-hmm. how horrible, how like in the, like, I'm not budging on this. Mm-hmm. I refuse to take a day off. That's how, wait a minute, what am I doing? What am I,
what, right.
you would think that even a foolish racist would think of that, you know?
Right.
When it comes to reality TV, if they repackage it, if they remarket it, you've got a whole new audience you might be hitting on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, spoiler alert, it's dying. Like reality TV, yeah. all left and right, all these shows that have done well for years, if not a decade, they're all dwindling in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Even your shows like Dancing with the Stars mm-hmm. and things like that, the more popular reality competition shows.
Is yes, the, yep.
So I don't know if they either do that or they just go by the wayside. One or the other is going to happen.
Right.
You do see a rise in scripted television, the people wanting that too.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the greater traditions, you know, when it comes to the holiday season, where we go from October and November and December, we've got Halloween, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, all the other things coming up, is the holiday specials. Especially
oh,
as a kid.
Oh, yes, the specials.
We loved them.
Yes.
Maybe no more than the Charlie Brown specials.
Mm-hmm.
Generational. Our parents grew up loving them. My generation, all these generations grew up loving these cartoons. So this is kind of melancholy to say here. Remember how the world spun into chaos when Apple bought up all the Charlie Brown specials and made them exclusive at Apple TV? Well, that was 2020, but last year they made a deal with PBS to air them. But that's not happening again this year, which means that once again, those specials will not be airing on network TV. However, Apple has decided to, they say graciously, I'm not going to say graciously, Apple has decided to provide a free windows for non-subscribers to watch them. So you still got to go to Apple Plus, but you can do it as a guest, I suppose,
right.
For just these specific shows. But they're not doing this out of the kindness of their heart.
No.
It brings you to Apple Plus, which may, hey, what's this show? You know, what's this show? Maybe I'll say I'll get a subscription.
You have to subscribe to it. Sad.
Yeah.
And those are good shows. Those are good classics.
Yeah. It is cool that they are giving that free window. I will mm-hmm. give them that. But again, they're doing it for a reason.
Right.
But as far as the window goes, so it's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Is going from October 28th to the 31st. A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is November 23rd through the 27th. And a Charlie Brown Christmas will be December 22nd to the December 25th. Just make the deal with PBS.
Right.
Just make the deal.
Just make it.
You've got enough money.
Yeah.
Come on. You're Apple.
Yeah.
You're one of the biggest brands in the universe.
Right.
Just make the deal. It's public access.
Share
it's public broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Make the deal. Again, going back to the PR end of things, the PR, you'll get it. Look at how nice we are giving this show to PBS and everything.
Right. Look at that. That'd be good for them.
You'll get your money back tenfold mm-hmm. from that alone.
Kindness. Remember, it starts with our first conversation mm-hmm. about friendship. Kindness.
One thing, nicely done. I love a good callback. One thing that I notice I'm not alone in with consumers, I've mentioned this on the air when it comes to local. I prefer to buy and go to shop at places that put back into the community.
Mm-hmm.
I like I like working with those kind of people, and I like shopping that way. On a bigger scale of things, I look at companies and what are they doing to the world, what are they doing for the world, and those things. And Apple has never been like on our positive side necessarily. Mm-hmm. So every little thing like this just adds up more, one more thing of like, well, I don't want that product. Mm-hmm. I don't want that thing. It'll put, it pushes consumers into another direction, whether they realize it or not, because half the time they're in, they got a bunch of yes men around them, and they're too in their own bubble to realize that the actual people hate this.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, we vote with our money, right? Mm-hmm. What we choose, whether it's our local economy or the companies we support, whether it's Apple or bigger, you know, big conglomerates as well. Mm-hmm. It's how we choose.
This is kind of interesting too. And speaking of all these things, there's been a rise of businesses and companies giving their employees Black Friday off. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have been encouraged by that, to see that. It's a positive. It's a good thing. And giving their and along with that, giving like the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, mm-hmm. these holidays off as well. I think it's a good pushback to what has kind of become Black Friday and all those other things about mm-hmm. it. And then there's the NFL. The NFL, who like Apple, Disney, and a lot of these other companies, just can never seem to get enough money or enough of our eyeballs or enough of our attention.
Definitely.
When we were kids, there was football on Sunday and Monday. Mm-hmm. That's it. Maybe there was a game on Saturday every once in a while, but that was usually after the college football season and everything. Because for years, there was this gentleman's agreement with and the NFL with college and high school sports. Hey, we're not going to be on Friday. That's high school sports.
Right.
We're not going to be on Saturday. That's college sports. Mm-hmm. And then the NFL decided, that's right. We don't care. Mm-hmm. We don't care about anything but money. And that's their business. That's mm-hmm. their job as a business to worry about that. They don't worry about all these other factors. And if you need more evidence of that, the NFL found a day where there was no football, and they remedied that situation in a heartbeat. Beginning next year, there will be a game on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So this is Amazon spent $1 billion buying the NFL Thursday night package, and this is an extension of that. Not only are you going to Amazon already for Black Friday, but now you come here to watch the NFL and everything. Right. It's becoming more and more of a one-stop shop.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I love football. I love watching football. I cannot tell you how much I love football.
Will you watch it on that day, or are you going to boycott it?
I don't know. I generally don't
you,
know.
You like, got a year to figure it out, though. Don't worry.
Yeah. But there is a part of me, and maybe it is just, as my mother would say, the rebel without a pause in mm-hmm. me that wants to push back at this because of all those factors.
Right.
But if you tell me, like, two great, like, Buffalo and Kansas City are playing on that game, or it's, a local game or something like mm-hmm. that, I'm probably going to watch. Mm-hmm. I'm being realistic about it. I don't feel good about saying that, but I probably will. Now that's good. This is all good for Amazon since they have Thursday night football, but that doesn't happen on Thanksgiving. So they have the Thursday night Thanksgiving games that they've always had. They're going to have that still, but they're also then going to have a game on Friday, and then they're going to have games on Sunday, and then on Monday. So it's just,
it's vicious. It's a cycle of all of it.
And I keep saying this, and they keep proving me wrong, much like Tom Brady's ability to keep playing football. Mm-hmm. We keep thinking he's gonna old man Father Time's gonna catch him, and then he goes and throws 40 touchdowns and all this. So I keep saying that they're gonna kill the golden goose here. I mean, the NFL has been the golden goose, the thing that just keeps printing money. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking, well, this thing is gonna be the thing that's gonna kill it. But nothing kills football.
I know.
It can be, there could be playoffs going on in basketball or baseball or something like that. Mm-hmm. And if there's just a random football game on, people are going to watch it. It's the big one.
American football. Yep. Yeah.
We will take a break right here. We'll come back and we'll have that state that swears the least. Get into that. Also have something kind of interesting here about the best time to book your flights.
Okay.
I want to get into that, too. So, a bunch of fun stuff coming up for you. It's Katrina and James taking it through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Getting you ready for Melissa's News and Morning Magazine coming up a little bit after that. Some Denny Wright and Good Stories of the Day. Right now, this is an interesting one. If you spend any time on Twitter, you might think that everyone has a foul mouth. or just social media in general. Well, a website recently pored over thousands of tweets to find out which Americans swear the most. They looked at the looked for 10 common profanities, and you know, including all the big hits. They found that people from Georgia curse the most on Twitter, with 48 swear words per 1,000 tweets. Maryland was the runner-up, followed by New Mexico, Hawaii, Louisiana, New Jersey, Alabama, Mississippi, California, and Maine.
Wow.
Interesting list. I don't think any of the, not one state on there would is one that I would have necessarily put in the top five.
Right.
People from Minnesota swear the least.
Yeah, Minnesota nice, right?
Uh-huh, yep. That kind of makes sense from to us in the Midwest here. We kind of get that. The 15 swear words, with 15 swear words per 1,000 tweets. West Virginia is second, followed by Vermont, Alaska, Utah, Iowa, South Dakota, Delaware, Montana, and Missouri.
Okay.
So a lot of states in there that a little smaller population. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that that is part of it. Mm-hmm. But also just, I think it's, again, just like the other list, a lot of them that I wouldn't have expected.
Right, exactly.
Where does Wisconsin rank on this list?
Where are we, James?
Wisconsin ranks 32nd.
Okay.
So somewhere kind of a little bit towards the end of the pack, but a little middle end of the pack, somewhere in between there. The most popular swear word in this state is, you know, I can't say it. You guys know I can't
right?
say it. It's right at the tip of my tongue, but I can't say it.
What letter does it start with?
S.
Okay.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So now you know. There you go. And that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. I want to do this segment, but I want to do it like off air. I want to do it like a special, like a segment where we just put it online so we can actually swear.
Right?
Growing up, there was very few things my mom and dad asked of me. I grew up very fast, so they didn't really try to do a lot of the traditional things that we do with little kids and everything. But there was a one, like, I had to let my mom know where I was going, and I couldn't, swearing. She just asked us. She didn't tell us we couldn't. She asked us not to swear in front of her. Mm-hmm. She, I think, little kid me didn't realize this, but the adult me realizes this was smart on her part because my dad swears like a sailor, and my dad's family do, and most Italians do. If we're if I'm being stereotypical about my people here, we tend to swear a lot. We throw those words around like crazy, and we use them in the most awkward ways too. Like how we tell people we love them and these things. Like we don't even use them the right way.
I didn't think about that.
All the time we do this. I'm more curious about other families and how they are with it because mine just is so weird. I'd like to know what normal is.
Normal?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Normal?
Yeah,
first question for me, but
I do think that there is. You touched on the Midwest nice, and I think that swearing in the Midwest is very different than where it is. We kind of choose our battles wisely. Mm-hmm. We don't just throw the words around as much,
right?
But it isn't as if we're opposed to swearing, as this list can kind of show you.
Yeah. I like my, kind of like you, you grew up with your grandparents. I grew up with my grandparents being around a lot. And my grandma always would be like, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
Right,
or she had a different saying of specifically about swearing. And you know, I think like they shaped us too and how to say things. And right. I mean, you don't need to use swear words. It's not something you need to use. I know some people, it helps them feel better just to get some steam off maybe or something like that. But there's multiple different ways. And yeah, I didn't grow up with swearing much. Mm-hmm. My dad doesn't swear. Could you see my dad swearing much?
No.
And my mom the same. And like, so I didn't grow up with a lot of that, but
The words exist for a reason. I think you hit on something really good there about venting. I think of my mom's favorite actor growing up was John Wayne. Love John Wayne. And I've seen everything John Wayne's ever done. But one of my favorite things about John Wayne had nothing to do with actually, or it didn't happen in an actual film. It happened off camera, where there's a scene where he gets his foot caught in a bear trap. And the line was written, "Oh, darn it."
Mm-hmm.
And John's like, I'm not doing that. Like, there's no human being in history that's got their foot. Oh, well, would you look at that?
Oh, darn shucks. I got a bear trap on me.
Tell you what. Hey, Joe, look at my foot here.
It's
look
bleeding just a little bit.
Ain't that just the darndest thing? No, you're going to say a swear word because they exist for a reason.
Right.
It's part of actually, and there's a lot more to this that I won't ramble and bore the audience, but it's really interesting how swear words are with our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And they're literally a pain reliever.
Okay.
They tend to be like, you're getting something done and they tell you to bite down on something. It's mm-hmm. it's just the same thing as that. We say swear words to keep our mind off of the pain. Tutti Frutti doesn't have the same, meaning as mm-mm, does
right.
or something.
Yeah. Power to it or something.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So they exist for a reason. But I think that part of the where they really hit the mark is if you don't overuse them.
Mm-hmm.
If you overdo it, then it just ceases to mean anything.
Well, right, because your brain would get used to those, probably that chemical reaction of like, oh, it's releasing something. Instead, it's just like, oh, this is common.
It's no different than the word love.
Mm-hmm.
If you say the word love to everybody and you say it ad nauseum, it's going to lose its meaning.
Right.
It just doesn't hit the same.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a break. We'll go to Melissa's news. I did want to ask you, I'm not going to be able to not do it. I was proud of myself for a second there. I really want to know what your favorite swear word is, Katrina, and I want to know what everybody's is, but there's no safe way to find this out. So I'll ask you off air, we'll figure this out. I want to figure out a way to do this, though.
You're going to have to figure this out off air, like maybe add it as like a podcast edition or something.
Yes, something like that. We'll figure that out. We'll go to Melissa's news, and we'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Katrina and James here with you. I hope you're having a good day out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Got some That Ain't Right. Got a That Ain't Right story coming up. Some good stories of the day we'll get to. Right now, I thought this was a really interesting article, Katrina. I wanted to make sure we got it into the show here. The lead economist at a travel app called Hooper says the best time to buy plane tickets for the holidays is this week.
Okay, so get on it.
Yeah. Prices tend to spike in summer when the first wave of people plan their trips at home, and they usually bottom out in mid-October when there's a full lull in bookings.
Okay.
Over the next few weeks, expect ticket prices to start increasing from $10 to $15 per week.
Mm-hmm.
And as the holidays get closer, $10 to $15 a day.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. She says, don't expect to get a deal by booking last minute this year. Last second tickets for Thanksgiving could cost up to $400 for some.
Mm.
And so that's why $500 when it comes to Christmas.
Yeah.
So do it now. Don't wait any longer.
Right.
Now, here's some bonus advice that's way out of left field. Once you're on that flight, make sure that you don't get sunburned. What?
What?
Plane? Uh-huh. What does this happen even? Someone talked to a dermatologist who says we should all be wearing sunblock on planes, especially on long flights.
Clouds.
And especially if you have a window seat.
Clouds, yep. The reflection from, especially if you have the wings too, probably.
Yeah.
The reflection.
You're exposed to more UV rays at 30,000 feet, which makes absolute, we're closer to the sun, so it makes perfect sense. But I've never thought one second about this. Never would have crossed my mind if I hadn't seen this.
Nope.
A 2019 study even found pilots and flight attendants are twice as likely to get melanoma.
Hmm.
So, that's a part of the job that I don't think any of us incorporated as part of it.
No.
I mean, while this whole article is about trying to get people a cheap flight, and that's great. And more, as we're telling you, get on that now. If you know you're going to travel for the holidays, get it done now. It's going to save you hundreds, if not more than that. And give you a little peace of mind. You've got that
down. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, you can move on to other things. But I think the biggest thing I'm taking from this article, I know the biggest thing I'm taking from this article is that part of it.
Right.
I never thought for a second about that. Maybe we should spread this word around as a society and get this to be more common knowledge. Maybe we'll act more like adults when we're 30,000 feet up in the air.
Yeah.
Because that's got to stop.
Right.
Flying is a privilege. It is not a birthright.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... I'm not saying that they're going to outlaw flying. I'm saying that there's not going to be enough people to do the jobs. It's no different than our police department or our fire department or our EMTs, our teachers, all these fields that, what do they see in the media? What do they see in society? How do we treat these jobs? Same thing with politicians. And this is something even I've got to work on a lot. I really have to work on because I have a tendency to just put them all under one umbrella in a lot of these groups. And I do this. It's easier for our brains. But we need to separate. We need to dissect. We need to be able to do that more. It creates more empathy in our society. And it also hopefully keeps us being able to fly the friendly skies.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Because if you ask me any of those jobs right now, if I'm a, if I'm not me and I don't have a career path at a young age and everything, and I'm a, an 18-year-old in 2022, how attractive do any of these jobs look to me? You know, because nobody gets into any one of those fields I just mentioned for the paycheck. They do it out of a need or a calling or something. Oh, that only gets you so far. It was a calling to me to be an actor, but I need to have a day job to keep the lights on. It's no different with anything else. I have a calling to my community. I want to help people. I want to protect people. So maybe I want to be a firefighter or a police officer. And then I see the way that everybody treats these fields. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that or not.
People aren't going to do it. It's a sad thing.
It's no different with our flight attendants and our whether they're, it's a pilot or a flight attendant or any of these things. We have to have a little understanding and also maybe a little better paycheck for some of these jobs in particular, the ones that, you know, I don't know, you're risking your life doing. Or even something like this where maybe you're not risking your life necessarily, but you're putting a tax on your life. I feel so ridiculous, especially as somebody who's an overthinker, that I'd never thought of this before. But
I never thought of it either, but it does make complete sense. I mean, I remember you wouldn't have this issue because you got your Italian blood in you and you tan much better. But I remember going cross country and traveling and getting sunburnt from like a, you know, like an 8-hour drive in the Southwest and being like, oh, yeah, I'm driving in a car. Didn't think about that. The windows and getting sunburned. And I mean, I wasn't even in the sky. So, of course.
It's something to consider and think about, especially there's never going to be a time the rest of history that we shouldn't be thinking about skin care. It's the biggest organ on our body. Skin cancer is prevalent in almost everybody's family. It's 6 degrees of separation by now when it comes to cancer in general. If you haven't experienced it, chances are somebody close to you has, or at least a friend or a distant friend or something like that. Skin cancer is one of the biggest ones.
And it's partially lifestyle. I mean, yes, it's genetics, but it's also partially a lifestyle thing too. So how you protect yourself.
I wanted to wrap the segment up with a good story, and then we'll come back afterwards. And we got a Danny Wright story and then some more good stories. This one is interesting, though. The Girl Scouts of America received its largest ever donation from a single individual, a gift of $84.5 million.
Wow.
Let me say that one more time. $84.5 million. Yeah. I don't think when I saw the headline, that's the number I was expecting.
No.
A couple high thousands, you know, things like that. Not millions. And it's not surprising because it's coming from Mackenzie Scott, the ex-wife of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, the group said in their release. The donation will be awarded to 29 local councils selected by Scott along with the national chapter. Scott became one of the wealthiest women in the world after her 2019 divorce from Bezos. Last year, Scott announced donations of $2.7 billion to nearly 300 organizations, following donations of $1.7 billion and $4 billion to various causes in 2020. One of the largest was a $436 million gift to Habitat for Humanity International and its affiliates. It to be used to promote home ownership in minority and black communities, as well as other, uneconomical communities.
Yeah, how great is that? How neat is it that she ended up getting this money and she's like, well, I'm going to donate some of it. I'm going to, you know, give some of it away. That's really...
Jeff Bezos will donate a couple of thousand here or there. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never seen him donate millions to anything.
Right.
And he's the one that's printing money.
Right.
Her, who got this huge bank, you know, check and everything like mm-hmm. that, could easily, I don't think any of us would be shocked to see her sit on this money or something, or live a lavish lifestyle. Right. What's surprising, unfortunately, is this, is her to doing this with the money.
Cool.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing more of this. I'm one of the first people that will pick on billionaires. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't like the idea of telling what other people to do with their money. Mm-hmm. You earned it. You deserve it. But at a certain point, it's kind of like, come on, man. Like,
help somebody out.
Mm-hmm. The lungs of the earth, the Amazon, every day is getting destroyed more and more. Like, mm-hmm. putting some money and some time into that isn't just a good PR move. Mm-hmm. It's a good future move.
Yeah,
it's the only home we got. It's
the only thing we have. Yep.
Her doing this is not only incredible, and a big shout out to her and a mm-hmm. power to her for it. I can't imagine all the things we're not thinking of. If I'm a little girl and I'm seeing, like, society right now, there's only a handful of women to look up to necessarily. Mm-hmm. I would think that she could be one of them. I would think mm-hmm. that what she is doing with this that she's gotten, this influx of money that she has gotten, mm-hmm. I would think is being a good influence. There's that part of it. There's the literal thousands and thousands of lives that she is affecting through these programs, then the trickle-down effect of that. Because yes. that is a true trickle-down effect.
Yes.
The whole trickle-down economics, we've seen that does not work.
Right.
That is not true. But there is a true, like, there are forms of trickle-down that does work. This is one that does. It's been in front of our face and under our nose the whole time of since birth. Everybody has heard this phrase. If you teach a man a fish, what happens? I mean, mm-hmm. you guys can finish the phrase out there.
Yeah.
You guys know how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
She's teaching people to fish.
Yeah.
You can give a homeless person $1,000, and that's great. That's very helpful. They're probably going to burn through that with rent, just renting a hotel or buying food or something like that. If I teach you how to do this job and I give mm-hmm. you an opportunity to get on your feet and make an income for yourself, that's the goal.
Continual
growth. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Continual growth at that. Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting off my soapbox now.
No, this is good.
That's pretty cool of that lady, though. I mean,
absolutely.
It really is. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back with a That Ain't Right story, some more good stories of the day, and plenty more fun. It's Katrina and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Katrina and James here with you. We're taking you right to the top of the hour to wrap up the show. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it's already. I just realized it's already.
How did that happen?
I don't know how that happened. I feel like you just got here.
I did. I swear.
We have a That Ain't Right story for you here, and this is a doozy. A husband in Maine posted a greatest hits compilation of all things he's apologized to his wife for.
Oh, no.
It's minor stuff that happens in a relationship, but when they're listed, they sound ridiculous, and here are a few.
Okay.
Going upstairs for the night without announcing it. Applying the car brakes to save their lives. Letting the knife touch the plate for a fraction of a second while cutting a steak. Breathing on her face, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing on her. With hot breath on her face,
sure.
is what he's trying to say. It's kind of funny. But the That Ain't Right part of this is the standard he has set now.
I know.
I'm not a husband, but I do feel for husbands. I do, you know. And yeah, like he set the bar now where kind of like almost everybody kind of has to, I don't feel like they have to do this, but
right.
I could see a lot of guys being, you know, doing this one now.
Well, I mean, even a significant other, a wife, a friend, even, I mean, anybody, you could take mm-hmm. it to anyone, mm-hmm. but isn't that interesting just thinking about it when there's going to the list? I'm like, oh, gosh, yeah, it's the little things. But it's also on the opposite side. It's the little things, the positive things that you do that add up that sometimes we don't recognize as well either.
Yeah.
So how interesting. Yeah, we're all going to be thinking about this today. Like, oh, I actually squeaked my chair a little bit too much. Or the I didn't say thank you for that one. Or whatever it might be.
I wonder, too, was he literally keeping a list? Like,
right.
How do you remember this
well,
stuff?
Well, I mean, you and Phil were talking about lists earlier, right? On your phone or in your notebook or whatever it is. Maybe he started realizing, ooh, that bothers her. And then he started making that list. And then it became this, like, bigger thing.
That's pretty good. That yeah, I think you might be onto something there. I like, and I don't know if you were, this is where you're going with it or not, but I also like the idea of, okay, do this, and then do a list of the little positive things mm-hmm. that you know, they did this for me in the morning, or that mm-hmm. my coffee's always ready, or something yeah. like that, you know.
We take for granted these wonderful people in our lives all the time, and we don't even realize all the things that you do, or the parts of it that we just hand off to that partner or a loved one that we just don't do that part, and that adds up after a while, and it's not like somebody needs their back to be always patted and saying good job, but yeah. recognition for sure, and appreciation, really.
Encouragement, support, cost nothing, mean everything.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that with the people that you're closest to, especially somebody you see day in and day out yeah. and everything, it's easy for that to get lost in the shuffle. It's not bad to have a reminder of reminding those people of what they mean to us, because don't beat yourself up too much. They do it too. We yes. all do it. We all do it. Save that time to beat yourself up and use that energy to compliment your loved ones
yeah.
and you know, let them know how you feel about them and
mm-hmm.
stuff. There's not going to be a time where it's a bad thing to do.
No. Mm-hmm.
I encourage you people to check out that list. He's going through this list, and he starts out strong, and as he's going on and stuff, you can almost see it wearing on his face
yeah.
as he's talking about these things.
I'm going to check that
it's
out.
It's kind of funny. Getting into some good stories of the day now. A 22-year-old pilot from New York flew from New Mexico to D.C. last week, which is impressive when you find out she's legally blind.
Wow.
She had a co-pilot with her to navigate, of course.
Mm-hmm.
She did it for World Sight Day and to inspire other visually impaired people to never let it limit them and what they do in their life.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing.
Miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is incredible.
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard of many stories like that before.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all heard of endurance and people doing it. We had a story a while back about a gentleman who climbed Mount Everest, mm-hmm. and he had a walker most of his
yes.
life and everything, things like that. I've not heard something like this, though, on
mm-hmm.
that to that level. I've heard stories of blind people flying just in their airport
mm-hmm.
or something. I've never heard of somebody going over crossing states.
Right.
That is incredible. It also speaks to how far we've come with our disabilities and you know, kind of not just normalizing them, but like finding ways to make people that are dealing with them their lives that much better.
Right. And that they can have a special moment too, or they can do this job that we maybe thought they couldn't.
Yeah. A woman in Brazil gave birth in an elevator last month after she couldn't make it to the hospital in time. But it's all good because her husband was with her, and he happens to be an OBGYN.
OB doctor.
Yeah, OB doctor, yeah,
mm-hmm.
who's delivered more than 5,000 babies.
Well, that's nice.
She and their new daughter are doing great.
Awesome.
A Cocker Spaniel named George just won Animal of the Year in England for his unique talents as a therapy dog.
Mm.
He's really good at just sitting and listening to people very, very intently. So his owner uses him to help kids learn to read out loud.
Oh, cool.
They say he listens but doesn't judge.
Right.
He also doesn't correct their spelling or
right.
you know, any of those things.
But he's there and intentional.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That is so fun.
That's I hope that we use dogs more for that. Like
mm-hmm.
the helping kids learn to read, building confidence in reading.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have thought of that either, but they're so, like, especially dogs are really good at this, at just staying in tune and, you know, listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they doing that because hopefully they're going to get a treat? Sure, you know, but I don't begrudge them that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still paying attention. They're still.
Mm-hmm.
might not be bad to have a treat on you, though, for that.
Yeah.
And here's some promising news for the world. India has 1.4 billion people, and a new UN report says over 400 million of have been lifted out of poverty just in the past 15 years.
Wow.
The poverty rate dropped from 55% in 2006 to just 16% last year.
Whoa, that's huge.
That is encouraging.
Yeah.
I want to leave it at that, but I can't help also mentioning the gap between the top 1% and the rest of us
yes.
has never been bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, more power to India, and that's mm-hmm. great to see for them, and that's great to see for the world.
Yep.
And hopefully it is something that's more common throughout the world,
mm-hmm.
but we can't lose sight of that part of it either,
mm-hmm.
that top 1% is so small of amount of people
yeah.
and they take on so much. And We're just talking about Bezos and these things. I mean, they got so much money, they're basically trying to like touch space, like just because they wanted to when they were kids. Mm-hmm. They can talk a good game about this reason or that reason. It's rich people with too much money and too much time on their hands. And so they're not even actually going to space, really. Mm-hmm. They're like touching the sky a little bit and coming back.
Spread that love. Share that.
The money you spent on that could have helped literally a billion different things. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that rich people can't have fun and have toys. Go ahead and have some toys. Have some fun. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, how much is too much?
Right.
I would think that when you're sitting there at a certain point and thinking about it, like, oh, they built a rocket for me. Maybe I've gone too far. Right. Maybe I've gone too far. Maybe having the Hummer and the bike and all these things in the garage is one thing, but they're building me a rocket.
I could have fed a million people.
Yeah.
Or
I could go to space for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a much of a trade-off to me, but, you know, again, we'll see where this goes as we go on more in time. I will say that is definitely encouraging, not just for India, but for the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One of our other good stories is our friends at Family Natural Foods. Their doors are open right now. Go on and say hi to them, visit them, follow them on social media. And a big thank you to you, Katrina, for hanging out with us this morning. Thanks a lot for being here.
Hey, it was fun. Thank you.
We'll see you next month sometime.
Sounds good.
And we'll be looking forward to seeing your father just a little bit.
Yeah, you get double time with us.
Of course, Mayor Blazer joining us in part one. And in part two, we'll have Mike Hittner from Historic Point Bus joining us right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.